Well, it may be unfamiliar territory for you, but we want to see you there more and more. Very fine job on leading the singing, and just it's always edifying to have you here. So good to see Brother Johnny with us also. Let us, as our announcements indicated to us by Brother Darrell, keep our minds on our sister Ramona and see what we can do to help her with the loss of her son early this morning. When we look at this passage of Scripture that Brother Al just read for us, it really leaves the thought that each and every one of us have things that we need to work on, and that is put in a threefold aspect for us here when we look at verses 5 and also in verse 8. First of all, the examining of ourselves. And it doesn't matter who we are, because we're going to be talking about all age groups this morning. We still need to look at ourselves, not be afraid to look at ourselves. That's the problem with those that are not really doing the Lord's will. They're afraid to look at themselves. They are afraid to see what might be looking back at them. But then also to test ourselves. And again, that's sometimes hard to do. To really not only make that examination, but put us to the test. Are we really where we should be in our lives? And then after that, to really know ourselves. I remember when I was a young boy, I did something, my dad got on to me, and I got the usual punishment. Yes, they actually whipped children, and the children lived after that, back years ago, just to let you know. But he said, "Boy, I know you better than you know yourself. And I knew that you would do that if I wasn't around." And I guarantee you that what it was that I did, after I got that correction, I didn't do again. But I began to know about myself a little bit more right there because of the instruction that I received. And then in verse 8, as Brother Al read for us this morning, the statement is made, "For we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth." Truth is going to stand. Whether we test ourselves or not, whether we examine ourselves or not, whether we know ourselves or not, truth is going to stand. It's going to exist. It's not going to go away. It is the standard that will exist. And the reason being is that Christ Jesus came forth from the grave 3 days after He died. And so, we all have things to work on. And I want to talk this morning about three different age groups and things to work on. The experienced. I'll not say the old and the elderly and the decrepit and so forth that we might think of when we think of those that might be experienced, but I'll use the word experienced. And when you look back in Proverbs the 20th chapter in verse 29, Solomon says there, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray hair." And we'll talk more about that in just a moment, but there are those of you that are present this morning that know nothing about the gray hair, know nothing about the decreasing of strength, because your strength is just increasing and it's going on. I will let you in on a little secret that will change at some point in time. I remember the day that it changed for me, and I was in my later 30s. Something took place that my strength went away that day. I can tell you that. It will change. My dad, it happened to him in his late 20s, and he could remember the day that happened also, that his strength went away from him that he didn't have anymore. With his lifestyle and the vigorous work that he did, it hit him earlier in life than it hit me. But it will hit you. It will take place. When we look at the maturing, I want to put that in the age bracket, which is not the more elderly, the more experienced, but those that are really getting things together. Things are really clicking for them. The strength is there. And we look at Jeremiah the 9th chapter, verse 23 and 24. And there says, the Lord says, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord." The maturing that we're going to be talking about this morning, those that are Christians that are maturing in age, where again, things are starting to click for them. Things go right for them. They are in their strength. They're in their prime, we might say. But yet, of course, the admonition here is to look unto the things of the Lord and to understand those that know Him, to understand His will. And then we look at the young. And I'm not talking about the little children, but I'm talking about the younger people of this congregation. Little children, obey your parents in the Lord. There's your part of the sermon this morning. But I'm talking about the younger folks. In Psalm the 71st chapter and verse 5, David says, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth." And we have those here that are Christians, that are in that situation, that the trust of the Lord, in their youth is a grand and glorious thing. And we'll talk about that more as we go on. But these are the three different age groups that I want us to look at this morning, because they're all represented in this congregation, each and every one of them. But we're going to do, I think, that which is right, and we're going to start with the experienced. And when we go back and we look at Ecclesiastes 12, chapter verse 1 through 7, I want to call on those of us that are more experienced, that have more gray hair or no hair, that which has not turned loose, and that which is already turned loose. But from the standpoint of what is stated here in Romans 12, chapter verse 1 through 7, and those of us that are old, those of us that are more experienced, I'm sure that at certain points in time there have been occasions where we may have tried to use this to teach those that are younger, and rightfully so, because Solomon says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult or the evil days come." And then, as we go down through this listing that is there, down through verse 5, we understand that, of course, is the decay of age that takes place. And I'm sure that those of us that are older have reminded those that are younger, both in the maturing state and also in the young state, to remember your Creator now. Remember your Creator now, before all these things take place. I remember a man that was 78 years old, that had never been a Christian, had always fought against the gospel, had always fought against those that would teach the truth. And he was taught by a preacher. And finally he came to a realization of the fact, you know, I need to be a Christian. At 78 years old, he became a Christian. He was baptized for remission of his sins. And he died just about 2 weeks after that. That's a wonderful thing, but here's the fact of that in that situation. A life wasted as far as work for the Lord that could have taken place. A life where much good could have been done. No telling how much evil had been done because of his opposition to the gospel, yet he's in the hands of a just God, and thankfully he was baptized for remission of his sins, that he became a child of God. Thankfully that. But when we look here in Exodus 12 and verse 1, the plea is to remember the Creator in the days of our youth. But I'm not talking about the youth right now. I'm talking about the experience. Do we recognize verse 6, those of us that are more experienced? Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Remember that we are to remember also, those of us that are older. Remember that. And he's saying, before death overtakes us, before the spinal cord is broken in two. That happened with my dad because of cancer. It was broken in two. And I had to carry him into the bed one day because he couldn't walk anymore. And before the golden bowl is broken, that being the cranium and the brain, where there is no communication to the body. And we could go through all those things. But those of us that are older, do we remember to remember before these things take place? Before death takes place? Before death takes place. Because you see, we all have things to work on, each and every one of us. No matter our age. Think about it from this standpoint. That we that are older must guard against cynicism. And we have a tendency to live in the past. Well, it's just not like it what it used to be. It's just different. And I'll tell you, you know, life is cyclical. And the cry of those that make the statement, just the good old days. Well, how far back do you have to go for the good old days? The good old days really are what we make them. They really are. Think about it. From the standpoint of how we attach a stigma to a city today. And you think about San Francisco, California, what do you think of? Well, usually you think of homosexuality. And that surely it's never been like that before. Go to Sodom and Gomorrah with me, where strangers walk into the city, and the men of the city want to have relations with them immediately. San Francisco is not like that. You can actually travel into San Francisco and not face that. But it's not like that. And so when are the good old days? The good old days are what we make them, really. But we remember back about cynicism here from James the 3rd chapter, verses 13 through 18. Not to be involved in that, those of us that are older. That no one is doing good, no one's right, they're just not doing what they're supposed to, these younger groups. They're not what the old Christians were whenever I was young. Well, maybe we had a distorted view. James 3, beginning verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Stop right there. There was a preacher that I know that was involved with young people quite a bit, and he never had one good thing to say about young people. He always talked about just how vile they were, how terrible they were, their actions were wrong, and so forth. And he would make that presentation at the building in sermons where there were young people. Well, think about that from the standpoint of how the young people took that. And I was younger then at that point in time. And some of those young people, in spite of him, still became preachers of God's Word and teachers of God's Word and doing the Lord's work and doing it with great vigor. But you see, the point that I make about cynicism is this. Cynicism has a tendency to do this in relationships with others. The expectations that we have on them is projected toward them, and quite often that's exactly what they'll live up to. If I think that you're worthless and you can't do anything right, that's going to probably be exactly what you put out as far as your relationship with me. And so it's about that expectation. And sometimes it's also with those that are experienced, not remembering what we really were in the past, about rather trying to take what we've become, maybe, in the Lord, and trying to project that backwards, thinking that we were that way all the time. No. There should have been growth. There should be growth throughout the lives of those that are mature and then going into those that are experienced. Colossians, the 4th chapter, verse 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. You know, preachers sometimes get phone calls about things that need to be addressed. And quite often, I wonder if we remember Matthew 18, chapter, verses 15 through 18. If we have an issue with a brother, well, you run to an elder, you run to someone in the congregation, you run to a preacher, and you tell them about it. Is that what it says there? No. Go to that person. Talk to them. Don't just have the complaint. Don't have the cynicism. Don't think that everything, by the way, is going to be corrected from a sermon. It's not. As a matter of fact, the best way for things to be corrected in lives is for us to show the interest that we have toward one another in going to people where there might be concerns. And let me also say this about that. Walk in wisdom, let your speech always be seasoned with salt, as Paul says in Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Sometimes it's good to say when things go right, you know, that was good, that was a good job. You made a good statement, did a good thing. That's wonderful. But as you get older, it seems as though it may be that we can't get that out. We only speak up whenever maybe something we see is not to our liking. It might not even be wrong, it just may not be to our liking. And so he says, Paul also says to Titus in Titus 2, verses 1 through 3, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in the faith, and thee is there in the Greek, by the way, in love, in patience, and then the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Their attitude is kindness. That's what Paul is saying here about those that are experienced. Have that kind attitude. Again, with the expectation of what we want from our relationship and what we want, hopefully, from those that are younger in the Lord to attain to. Our expectation from the Lord comes about and is received better from kindness than it is from complaint, cynicism. And so we need to guard against that. That is something that the older folks need to work on, the experienced folks. And here's another one. Now's not the time to hang it up because you're older. These kids that we have with us this morning in the congregation where their parents are members have ladies that are up in their 90s that have taught them. They have recognized that it is not time to hang it up. They have that desire and they also have the physical capability. I understand that. They have that physical capability and they're involved in the work. And so just think about that from what Paul says in Romans 13, verse 10 and 11, those of us that are experienced. That knowing that is now high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we first believed, and not any more so than those that are more experienced. Life is short. We are in the sunset of age at this time. The sun is going down, and we need to recognize that. There was work in the old age for Abraham and Sarah, bringing forth lineage. I'm not talking about procreation for those that are experienced. God forbid. But rather making a point from the principle that Adam and Sarah brought forth a lineage. And it wasn't time for them to hang it up. Same thing with Zechariah and Elizabeth in bringing forth the herald, John the Baptizer. Same thing with Elijah before he was translated into heaven, in getting things in shape the way that the Lord wanted them before He went away, as we see in 1 Kings, the 9th chapter, verses 14 through 16. Taking those, or putting those in place that would take His place after His departure, including the prophet Elisha. Remember, and this is to everyone here. I'm talking about now to the maturing and also to the young. Remember what is stated in Proverbs 16, verse 31. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory. And there should be some respect shown. But it's qualified. And now this statement, because I didn't read all the verse, is now for those that are experienced, those of us that are more experienced. If it is found in the way of righteousness. We have an old saying, there's no fool like an old fool. And that is so. And you've seen that in your life, I'm sure. Those that have given themselves over to sin and lasciviousness all their life, and in old age, they present that, and how foolish they look in doing so. Because youth is no longer with them, and the beauty that was once there, and those things that they did, is gone, and is just foolish. It's foolish. For those of us that are experienced, if we want that age to be the crown of glory, if we want to be respected, it is upon us then, in the way that we act, to receive that respect. We can't demand it. We earn it. If it is found in the way of righteousness, you and I, those of us with the gray hair, the older, experienced group, we are the examples for others. We're the examples for others. So if we're complaining, there's nothing good ever said. If we have that attitude where I'm watching you, I'm watching you close. Don't you dare take a misstep, because I'll run to the elders or I'll run to the preacher. That's not the attitude that we're to have. We have things to work on. The maturing has things to work on also. Guard against high-mindedness. As I said, in this age group, things are clicking for you. You're hitting on all cylinders. A little bit of a mechanical term there for you. But you're hitting on all cylinders. Things are easy for you for the most part. Decisions that you're making, quite often because of your youth and your knowledge and so forth, they're turning out right. And it's working well. But yet, there has to be... That has to be tempered with the thought that is given from Scripture, such as in Romans 12, chapter and verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Realization of the fact where your success is coming from. Where your solid decision making is coming from, because usually a solid decision making, especially with a Christian, is based upon those principles that are of truth. And they're going to turn out right, and they're going to be blessed by the Lord if you're doing the Lord's will. But also understand, Job found himself in a situation not caused by God, but caused by Satan, and it could come upon you. And so there should not be any high-mindedness. When we look in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 through 19... Command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty or high-minded, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Jesus made comment to this in Matthew the 6th chapter, verse 19 through 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, where your heart is, there is your treasure also. We understand, or you should understand, it could be taken away. Understand that your aspect in this, your attitude rather in this, James the 4th chapter and verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up, is that if I continue to do the Lord's will, I believe He will bless me. And I believe that He will. And we have those in the congregation that are greatly blessed. Many in this congregation that are greatly blessed. Not only from the spiritual aspect in which we all are blessed, but also from the financial aspect. Great blessing has come upon them. And there are those that are using that great blessing for the furtherance of the preaching of the gospel and the work here in Taylor. And they need to be commended. They do not need to be used by the rest of this congregation. Let me tell you, there's a congregation where I once preached. And over a span of 50 years, there was a benefactor that was in that congregation that was very wealthy. Two different women, as a matter of fact, at two different times. And that congregation became complacent and lazy because old sister so-and-so, if we needed something, she would just throw more money into the treasury. And the only thing that was being given into that congregation was being given by that first sister. And no other contributions were being made. Oh, there were a little bit there, here and there. People thought about it when they got to services on Sunday morning and pulled out a dollar or two and put in there, but old sister so-and-so, she's going to take care of it. Whenever Beverly and I moved there, the first 2 weeks that we were there, it rained 10 inches one day. I was in the study of the office in the building. And a 3x3 square of sheetrock fell on my head, almost knocked me out, and gallons of water because the building was just let go. And the reason being, that old sister had died. No benefactor left. But you know what? They were so lucky. Because within another year, there was another benefactor, and this came about by oil. Single lady. And now she foot the bill. Still no giving to speak of by the congregation. No real work being done. Oh, pride in the building being renovated. How great that was and so forth. But from that benefactor, because the others didn't give it into the work. The mature understands that the work is there for them. And they're to be involved in that. And that they need to be involved in that. Because they have the strength and they have the knowledge and they have the thinking processes where the work can be furthered. And they understand that. And they understand where their goodness or where their good things that have come to them come from. And that is from God. And so they're humble. Go to the Word, those of you that are maturing. Go to the Word for your direction, not to your own logic. That happens. So if things work so well in one's life, well then, you know, everything will work well just by what I think is right. But go to God's Word. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 16. Just read a little bit of this. We look first of all in verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Then coming down as we look in verse 15. Be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Why are you so blessed? Well, I'm so blessed because I'm a Christian. What are you doing for the Lord? Well, I'm blessed because I'm a Christian. No, it's if you're blessed, you're blessed because you're doing the work for the Lord. You're doing the work for the Lord. Also, conduct and speech by the maturing mean a lot in a congregation. You know, some of us that are experienced, we kind of get overlooked as time goes on. But the maturing that are there and the results of their labors, if they are in the Lord, see the result by others. And they're looked to. And so the conduct and speech that this maturing group puts forth should be that for edification rather than causing doubt. In other words, speaking, thus saith the Lord. Giving book, chapter, and verse. Showing forth a life that is given to the Lord in every aspect, in their business dealings, but especially in their spiritual relationship to the Lord. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12 and 13, here is an admonition to you. It is not an admonition against anyone else. It is given to those that are maturing. Let no one despise your youth. Timothy was probably in his 30s when this was written to him. He was probably in his 30s, sometime in his 30s. And what Paul is saying here, he's not saying you don't put up with someone that talks down to you. You don't allow that to happen. That's not what Paul is saying. You act in such a way that you're not despised. You act in such a way in which you show forth your spirituality. You act in such a way where people look to you and understand that you see, are an example. And step up to the work. Step up to the work. Those of you that are maturing, step up to the work. Elders, pay attention to them. Those that are there, encourage them to step up to the work. Deacons, their wives, step up to the work. When we look at 1 Timothy 5, 11-12, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully, so then we step up to the work. Those in that maturing age. There's a lot to be done. Robert, I won't put you in the experienced group. I'll put you in the maturing group. Robert's in his 50s. I'm in my late 60s. Boy, we had a fight getting on the internet this morning. Shouldn't have been. But everybody was late. Well, no one passed 9:30. They knew how to operate all this. But as I said in class, if you're here at 9:30, you're late. You're late. You see, we should already be in our seats at 9:30. We should have already said hello to our brothers and sisters and talked to them. If you're on time, you're late. And especially for those that have volunteered to the work of getting all this set up. You see, we have responsibility with this Zoom. A lot of us are present here in this building now, and thankfully so. Thankfully so. But there are those that can't do that right now. They need to be where they are because of physical situations. And we have a responsibility to them. And not only that, there are names on this invitation list that may never show up, but they might show up that are not Christians. And if we are not Johnny on the spot, I didn't mean you, Brother Johnny Smith, but if we're not doing what we're supposed to and clicking the way that we're supposed to and putting out what we're supposed to, we're letting others down also. The opportunity to teach God's Word. Well, I guess that bunch, they're not really serious about church. They're just playing church. Haven't seen an invitation come across like they said it would come across. No, I will admit I need help. I hate every electronic device. I really do. I wish we didn't have them. But yes, I'm glad we do, because the gospel is being taught. The gospel is being taught. You see, the maturing group, you're the future. You're the future of this congregation. You're a hair's breadth away, and it won't take long if you do the Lord's will. It won't take long, and you're going to be the elders and the elders' wives. And it will not take long at all. It will not take long at all. And so you're the future. You're the future, the immediate future right now. So step up to the work. Don't give excuse why you shouldn't. Give reason why you should. And then we look at the young. And again, this is not about the babies, not about the small children, but it's the younger people here in this congregation. What a great diversified group we have of these. It gives hope to this congregation to continue on. Focus on the consequences of your decisions. Do that. Go back to Ecclesiastes 11, chapter verse 9 and 10. Rejoice, O young man in youth, and let your heart cheer in the days of your youth. But, as we come down to verse 10, put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. The expectation that the maturing will always be there will dim over time, just as the experienced are always there to pick up the slack. They will die. And the maturing will get older, and then they will die. And all that takes place is cyclical. And there needs to be that training about the decisions that we make now, not only about things out in the world, our jobs and our morality and all those things, but also the work that we all engage in here at or in this congregation. As I said, some of the younger folks, and I'll just be very blunt, you signed up to be a Zoom facilitator here. Facilitate it. Be here to do that. You owe the Lord that, and you owe those that have not heard the truth that, in case they would come on. When we look in 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 through 23, flee youthful lust, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they would generate strife. Now, I have to say this about our young folks also. And I've tried to give a compliment to every age group. I probably passed over the experience, Daryl. But we have some good experienced folks in this congregation, just as we do the maturing and the young. You volunteered, and that's great. Many of you have filled the capacity in which you volunteered. Maybe there needs to be some tweaks there. But it shows that attitude. We have some that preach. We have the song leading that takes place, the Zoom facilitation. Invitations that are given. One brother, I called him last month, said, "Would you give an invitation?" I hadn't done that before. I said, "Yes, I realize that." And you did a fine job, Brother Brandon. You did a fine job stepping up and doing that. I'm very proud of you. You're in that younger group. And you stepped up to that. We have those that do that in this congregation. But understand that the youthful times in which fun and so forth take place, we put that aside for the enjoyment of serving the Lord when we get ready to come and we worship Him. And there is that responsibility that you have in doing that. You are the future, the more long-term future of this congregation. And so John writes in 1 John 2, verse 13 and 14, "I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one." We have many like that in this congregation. They've overcome the wicked one. They've become children of God. They recognize the need to be obedient to the gospel of Christ Jesus for their soul salvation. And then he says, "I've written to you young men," down in verse 14, "because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one." But that will only last whenever there is the writing of God's word upon your heart. And that only comes with the diligence that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. "Be diligent to show yourself, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, handling with precision the word of truth." I combined about three different versions there. But it's the point being made. This morning in class, did you study? Wherever you came this morning, the maturing, did you study? The experience, did you study? Were we prepared for class, or did it hit you blindsided that, you know, we have a class on Sunday morning and also on Wednesday evening? Did you study for that? You see, that's part of writing it on that heart. It's about that concept, that principle that Brother Ethan talked about in our class, where we look to do the Lord's will and the concepts come to us in serving God the way that we should. And it deals with disciplining ourselves to put forth the effort and study into God's Word because it's going to serve us in the future. Let me tell you, right now, those that are maturing and those that are young are in the training process for leadership in this congregation later on. If you choose to do so. And I pray that there will be those that will choose to do so. When we look over in Titus, the second chapter, verse 6 through 8, Paul tells Titus, "Exhort the young men to be sober-minded." And then he says, Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5 through 7, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders." Now, I'm not talking about the old, grumpy, experienced one that never has a good word to say, doesn't like anything you do. They've not proved themselves to be righteous, if that's the case. But if they prove themselves to be righteous, pay attention. Pay attention, learn. Experience goes a long ways. Experience goes a long ways. And so submit yourselves to the other. And again, then in Titus 2 and verse 15, "Let no one despise you because of your actions that are not righteous." When we look at this, we understand that each one of these age groups, and we go back now to 2 Corinthians 13 chapter verses 5 and following. Each and every one of us, those of us that are experienced, those that are maturing, and those that are young, are we examining ourselves? Is there good words that come of our mouth? Are we encouraging those that are maturing and young? Or is it that we just have complaint? Complaint never does a thing. I'll show this from a negative aspect. Think about Saul of Tarsus' situation. When those Jews were complaining about the Christians there in Jerusalem, what did he do? Acts 8 chapter verses 1 and following. Well, he did something about it. He didn't just complain. He went out and drove everyone of them out of the city except for the apostles who refused to leave. I'm not talking about being Saul of Tarsus. I'm talking about having his attitude. Do something. Do something for the Lord. Do what is right. Examine ourselves and don't be like what the Lord talked about in Matthew 7 verses 1 through 5. Don't consider the plank in our own eye that is there. Why won't these young people listen to me? Because you never have a good word to say. Don't let it be like that. But let encouragement take place. Test ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13, the second part of verse 5. Remember that from Romans the 12th chapter, especially there in verse 2, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, because we've given ourselves as a living sacrifice. Those that are experienced, those that are maturing, and those that are young. There's the testing right there. And then to know ourselves. Here is an apostle of Christ Jesus, and he recognized that he is still in the flesh. And he says then in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians the 9th chapter, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Because he recognized he's still just frail man. Are we doing that? All three age groups. Oscar, go ahead and come on up here if you would. Are we doing that? You know, we can stand in the truth. I asked Oscar to come forward because he was going to be doing the Zoom here in just a moment. Oscar, I've got something against you. I want you to know. That's not what we're doing. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. The gospel which I preach to you, Paul says, which also you received, in which also you stand. We need to be standing in that truth. You know, there are those that have the name Church of Christ on the outside of their building. And you walk in to see what is taking place, and it doesn't resemble anything that is mentioned in Scripture. But those that are standing in the truth will make sure, young, maturing, and experienced, that what is taking place is in accordance with God's will. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 14, that we stand fast in the faith. Again, not our own mindset, but in the faith. We stand fast in the Lord. Philippians, the 4th chapter, and we look there in verse 1. And we act with sweet reasonableness, moderation, reasonableness toward one another. Every age group that we mentioned this morning. And then Colossians, the 4th chapter, that we stand perfect and complete in all the will of God because we look to His truth. Make a choice this morning, each and every one of us. If we're experienced, let our words be with grace. Boy, you talk about people that will respond to that. I'm talking about the maturing and the young. They will respond to that. Make sure that it's that way. The maturing, make sure that you make choice to do the Lord's will and you look to edify one another. The young, that you look to those that are righteous and more experienced than yourselves as examples, but you always go to God's Word. And you look there for the truth. But those here this morning, if you're not a child of God, you make choice this morning. Please do that. Christ Jesus died for you. He went to the cross for you. And what He asked from you is so simple. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Make choice, those of us that are experienced, maturing, and young, just as Joshua called for in Joshua 24, verse 15. But for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? The old ways, the good old days, or the Lord from heaven? 1 Kings 18, chapter and verse 21. The question was asked by Elisha whenever he stood before the prophets of Baal and Ahab. And he asked the people of Israel, how long will you halt between two opinions? If God be God, then follow Him. And if Baal be God, then follow him. If God is God, we better be following Him. We better know that He expects something from us. This morning, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. And let's make sure each and every one of us in all these age groups that we have discussed, make sure that those that are Christians in these age groups are doing what we should do, that we've signed up to do. And that is, first of all, starting with becoming a child of God. That we offer with graciousness words of encouragement to the others. And those that are maturing, that you show forth in your action that which edifies and strengthens the congregation and does not tear it down. And to make sure those that are young, you look and you look into God's Word, and that your faith is not the faith of your parents or some preacher that you heard over the years, because you see, they need all the faith they can get. They don't have any to spare. You need to have your own. And so you understand God's Word. And if you're not a child of God this morning, understand that you not only have a loving God, a loving Savior, but you have loving people that are present here this morning that want you to be part of us. And we want you to come, and we want you to come to the Lord and become a child of God this day. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.